The 840-acre Point of Rush State Park has trails that wind through forested areas, open meadows, wetlands, and along the shores of Lake Champlain. Mark Malkoff and Curtis Bucher from SUNY Plattsburgh's Lake Champlain Research Institute and Lake Champlain Sea Grant led a walk through the park to identify the invasive species intruding upon the park and the region.
My name is Mark Malkoff. I'm a Sea Grant specialist at SUNY Plattsburgh. I work in both New York and Vermont. Curtis is a recent grad of the
Professional Science Masters. Mark and I worked together actually on a couple grants.
You want to take a walk?
Yeah. So this is the white ash tree. So this is a native. The reason why I'm bringing you guys to the white ash is because it's the host for the emerald ash borer beetle, which is non-native. So have you guys ever seen the purple prisms up in the tree?
Confused me for the longest time.
Right.
They're sticky traps that are hung up to sample or monitor emerald ash borer.
So those traps are used for monitoring and detection. Those traps will not control an infestation of emerald ash borer beetles. And the nearest documentation of ash borer is actually just south of Montreal. So it's within a 50-mile radius. It's down in the Catskills, it's in the Hudson Valley, and there isn't really too much concern, but yeah, it's actually within a 50-mile radius of Plattsburgh.
This particular one moved all over the East Coast in the Midwest through campers moving firewood. The maps were really startling. This has just decimated ash trees in Michigan and Ohio, and that's what people are nervous about in New York. When these insects get in here, they're going to take every ash tree. There aren't going to be any survivors. And in places like the southern tier counties, 40% of the woods is white ash. Back to this insect called emerald, because it's emerald green, and it bores into the ash tree. The reason they're fairly cryptic, though, is because they're so small.
They can fit on a penny.
They're like an eighth of an inch, a little more than an eighth of an inch long as an adult. When you do see them, they're striking, under magnification especially. Anybody know what this is?
You see it everywhere, but I have no idea what it's actually called.
It's called timothy. Just because something is not native doesn't mean it's invasive. More than 20, like half of our agricultural crops are not native to North America. And this is one of them. This makes great hay. People plant a lot of timothy to feed cattle.
We could talk about clover here.
Another non-native but not invasive.
Yep. This is a non-native. This is red clover. We also have white clover. And this is actually the state flower for Vermont. So a non-native is a state flower.
So what is the difference between a non-native but not invasive?
That's a good question. The National Invasive Species Council adopted a resolution. It was a presidential order in the Clinton administration, basically providing definition of that. Not native just means it's from a different ecosystem. It could be from the next river system over, or the next state, or the next continent, but it's not native to the area that we're talking about, to our local ecosystem. And if it's not native and it's causing either harm to societal values or harm to the ecosystem, then it's considered invasive.
Okay, so if it's just benign,
then it's just not native. Like timothy, clover.
Is there a time when native starts?
European settlement. That's open to argument too, but that's kind of the time of European settlement.
We're almost to the water.
Anybody not seen zebra mussels?
I've never seen one in the lake. I saw them at Echo. We saw them at Echo, remember?
Okay.
So zebra mussels, like hard substrates, either other zebra mussels, rocks, concrete, pipes, anything where they can put these Bissell threads. That's the Bissell threads. That's how they hold themselves on.
And you just reached down and pulled this rock out at random.
Yeah, there's no shortage of zebra mussels in this lake. The larval stage are free swimming, and they're up in the water column, and they're out there by the billions. But they have to settle out after a relatively short period of time. And if they settle out on mud or sand, they'll typically die. If they settle out on a rock, then they can
attach themselves and start growing and feeding.
One of the things about milfoil is it can spread like fragments. You don't need the roots. You can just break off a chunk of it, let it float around, and where it settles, it'll start producing again, which explains why it is so aggressive. If you look close, the leaves are in whorls of four. This is your good old Eurasian milfoil. So there's something like about 20% maybe of all the lakes in the Adirondacks have got this. There are a lot of lakes in the Adirondacks that don't have Eurasian water milfoil yet. Lake George has been really aggressive in trying to control this stuff since about 1985 when it showed up there. Upper Saranac Lake Foundation has spent literally millions of dollars to try to reduce it to manageable levels in Upper Saranac Lake. There's no good fix once this is in a lake. It's just so aggressive that it's about impossible to control. This stuff can just get so thick that you physically can't swim or boat in it. So that's the problem with milfoil.
Numerous activities and presentations are scheduled across the Adirondack region this week to raise awareness about invasive species. A link is available on our website, wamc.org. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.